Hey, it's Fair Days weekend, and one of the activities I hear for our smaller and socially spacious 2020 version is a Hepburn townwide bingo challenge. So, I'm recording this on Friday afternoon, but I'm going to take a leap and get ahead of Parks and Rec and give you a bingo challenge. And in fact, here's a sweet idea. Maybe this week, instead of sitting where you usually watch to watch our worship and sermon, you get out and go for a walk somewhere, assuming you have some data on whatever device you're watching on. Make it a self-guided worship service. Go from place to place and stop, pause it, watch, and keep on going. Greg and I are going to intersperse teaching and music this week, so it might work perfect for you. Go on your own bingo challenge. So, bingo challenge. I've even made a card for it. It's pretty simple, only three columns, and, instead of getting the middle square free this time, I've given you six free spaces here, so it's not too bad. And I needed to make a dabber for this, and I thought a usual bingo dabber isn't quite big enough, so we went super size. So went with that, pool noodle shape, and we got some nice green tempura water washable paint, and we're going to dabber them. We should try test this, hey, see if this works. Yeah, we got that spot. Let's try another one. Dabber. Good. Hey, it works. Awesome. Don't worry. I will dishwasher the plate afterwards. It's from the kitchen downstairs. All right. Bingo challenge for your inside. I'm calling it for my inside. Yeah. Our bingo hunt is for three little things that the Apostle Paul tells us are exactly what God hopes and desires our inner life would look like. You know, inner, as in that, like, inner control room in your heart or your head or your stomach or big toe or wherever it is. That inside, the inner you, your mind, your emotions, your thinking, your yapping, your worrying, your raging, the part that's rarely still and silent. See, God is our creator, and he made you and he made me, and so he has an idea of what brings life. So that's what we're going to look for. That's our bingo challenge. We're going out to find three squares that tell us God's shape for our inside. Now, the Apostle Paul had some friends who were brand new Jesus followers in the city called Thessalonica. There we go, tongue twister. And they were struggling. See, they'd taken Paul's good news and they believed it totally enthusiastically that Jesus is the king, he's been raised from the dead, and he's coming back. And that sounded so awesome to them. But now they were asking, where is this Jesus? Like, life is just going on like life, and it's hard even, because life often is hard. And they were having some doubts. And so Paul wrote them a letter to encourage them and say, hey, stick with it. This is the good news. And he ends, right near the end of his letter, he ends with three super short instructions. So this is in the fifth chapter of this letter called Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And it's verse 16 we're going to start. He says this, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We're going to take this apart one by one. And hint, three bingo squares. That's where we're going. But let's start with a word of prayer. Jesus, thank you that you gave us your word and you long to teach us and to shape us. And thanks for these really short verses that talk about our inside. So show us how to shape our inside today by your Spirit. Amen. So notice how Paul ends this. He says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, that's not a normal way of talking for Paul. He doesn't usually go up to his friend and say, hey, this is God's will for you. It's a pretty big thing to say. So if Paul's saying that, we should probably pay attention to him. And listen to exactly what he says. He says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's a super crucial qualifier. Because that's going to make sense of the three bingo squares. Because it puts them in a big story in which they fit. See, anybody can write a self-help book. You know, 7 practices to inner peace. 15 never-fail techniques to a happier you. 3 things I just made up because I wanted to write a book and make money. Words are cheap. And not to say that words don't help. They do. There's good worth there. But to me, it makes a difference if what I'm basing my life on in here matches with reality out there. If what I'm holding on to for dear life can actually hold me up, because it actually holds up in the world. So Paul speaks these words, this little bit that I read from this letter, he speaks about God's will out of a big story that he's 110% convinced explains reality. My reality, your reality, everyone's reality, real reality. And it's the story of God's persistent love for humans, the story of the Bible, where God is like a shepherd chasing his lost sheep, and the story that enters history fully and finally in the person, in this man, Jesus, who lives and who dies on a cross and who rises from the dead and is now seated at the right hand of God, and in whom I can find forgiveness and new eternal life. In that very true, very real story, which is now the story of your life and can be the story of my life, in Jesus, Paul says, now shape your inner life like this. Shape it this way. In these 3 ways, in fact. All right? Okay, square one. Let me grab a pen. Paul said, rejoice always. Rejoice, rejoice. I only really do that at Christmas, I think, when I'm singing Christmas carols. It's the word joy, so we're going to go with that. Joy. Joy always, Paul says. Do joy. Practice joy all the time. Really, Paul? You might say, isn't that a little naive or irresponsible? The world's a serious place. It's got serious problems. I mean, there's injustice in our world. It's running rampant. There's a disease going on, a pandemic. It's killing thousands, tens of thousands of people. Joy? Joy's for kids at Christmas. It's not for the summer of 2020. Furthermore, like, practice joy? I mean, come on, Paul. Isn't joy an emotion? It's something that comes and goes when and if it wants, and often unexpectedly. I can't manufacture it. I can't sit there and go, joy, joy. No, we can't manufacture joy, of course not. But Paul's not saying that. We can't manufacture it like we can't manufacture flowers or birds or a beautiful sunset or a fish to bite the end of my line. But we can till the garden a bit. We can put out a bird feeder or put up a martin house in our yard. We can build a deck off our bedroom facing west and make a habit of watching the sun go down. We can paddle our boat out on the early morning waters. See, practicing joy is partly about making space for joy to happen. Poet Gerard Manley Hopkins, he lived back in the 19th century as one of those sour-faced Victorians, and his poetry captures some pretty dark and depressing moods. At the end of one of his so-called terrible sonnets, though, he turns it around and encourages his own self. He says this. He says, leave comfort root room. Let joy sighs at God knows when to God knows what. He says, leave root room. It's like you're transplanting a seedling into a pot. You got to leave room for those roots to grow. He says, do that with comfort and joy. Let them grow into the space. And funnily, he says, that this will happen at God knows when in response to God knows what. So practice joy by making space for it to happen. So how are you? How am I doing with that? To those who think the practice of joy is a naive, childish pursuit, I'll also add this. I think joy keeps reality real. It keeps reality at its proper size. See, people who measure reality as just being, oh, well, it's reality, which means it's serious and you should be worried about it. And these things are wrong with the world. That's reality. If you think that's all there is to reality, I think your reality is too small. You're not seeing the real picture. See, joy expands your universe. It makes you go, oh, there's that too, right. Oh, and that, amazing. It's not just the cares and worries of your debt statement from the bank and your health and your parents and your kids and your education and your student loan and all your own failures and shattered dreams, all those realities. Joy says, hey, there's more over here. There are birds and sunsets and ball games and picnics and laughter and rainbow trout in the mountains and music and memories and just pure delight. That is all part of reality too. It's a substantial, a huge part of reality. In fact, it's the biggest part of reality if we're in Christ Jesus. Because when we enter into that story, we recognize, hey, that story is all heading to joy, to perfect, eternal joy. So practicing joy means lifting our heads up and noticing the little joys that remind us of the biggest joy. The practice of joy isn't naive to reality. Practicing joy keeps everything in its proper size. Joy keeps reality real. So, I think it's dabber time for our square. We found some joy. We got that. Mark off this free spot too. Okay. And hey, wherever you are, maybe you took me seriously and you're out on your deck or going for a walk. Well, just take a minute right now and notice some small joy around you. A smell, a sound, a sight, a color. Do this as Greg leads us in a song of joy and praise.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing, everyone sing. God Almighty, the earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, the earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing, everyone sing. Filled with His glory, and it's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It's rising up all around. and together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory.
Okay, on to number two in our bingo. Paul wants, tells us that God wants us to pray without ceasing. Pray, that's the second one. Pray all the time. Now, Paul is not saying that all our time should now be spent down on our knees with our hands folded. No time for volleyball or quadding or backyard hot dogs. This is simply the reality balancing instruction to the first one, to practicing joy. Paul isn't naive at all. He knows there are countless hardships in this life that's still haunted by sin and death. They're very real, very hard. And it's not wrong that they concern us. They should. We should be worried about things that are wrong in the world. But what do we do with all the big and all the little things that concern us? Well, I know I too easily get my mind worrying, thinking that if I just worry the right amount and hard enough, those are going to solve those worries. I cling to what concerns me as if it helps, which usually doesn't. So Paul challenges this tendency in many of us. He says, remember the big story that God in Jesus showed us how concerned He was. He noticed us where we were, trapped, struggling, and He came and was entered into it and created a solution for it. Because of Jesus, we can enter into the very presence of the God of the universe and find a dear, caring, better than earth, any earthly father. That because of Jesus, we are children of God. And what does a kid do when they're worried about something? Well, they go to the adult that they love and they say, there's a monster behind that tree. So Paul is saying, whatever you're concerned about, whenever you're concerned about anything whatsoever, well, just go tell your father. Talk to him. He's listening. He's perfectly attentive. You don't need the right words. You don't need the right clothes. You don't need to have your life in order. Just talk. At 5 a.m., when you wake up thinking about that project for work, or at 1 a.m., when you're still up waiting for your teen to come home, or when you're reading about riots in the States and you just don't know what that you can do to help Black Lives Matter, or feeling overwhelmed by the threat of coronavirus for your aging parents, or disappointed about missing your own grad, or confused about what to do in the fall. Pray. 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 Make it like a reflex response, something that just happens. Concerned? Go straight to pray. Pray without thinking. Just lay it out. What's on your mind? Okay, God, here it is. Don't shut him out. Let him in. Peter tells us to cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for us. God wants to hear it all. Again and again, he never gets tired of hearing your voice. Now, your inner prayer life, the shape of you, is going to look a little different than mine does. Because we each have different personalities. For some people, a fixed, structured time is the way to do it. For others, it's spontaneous, on the go, through the activities of the day is best. For some, writing out your prayer is helpful. For others, maybe music is the key to praying and to taking your concerns to God. The key is to simply build the short circuit from worry to prayer. Oh, we're in, bam, into prayer. Wherever there's a concern, whatever's occupying your RAM up here, just simply upload it automatic to God. It's like your OneDrive or your iCloud. You know, boom, off it goes. Share your memory. And when you do, you're going to find yourself freer because you're actually going to be living this big story. Oh, yeah, because of Jesus, oh, this is true. And these worries of mine aren't all there is to reality. Yes, they are real. All the hurt and hardship and oppression of the world is real, but so is joy. So, dabber, second square, let's do it. We got the pray, number two, pray all the time. So what's concerning you, like right now? Maybe you should imagine yourself like a teenage friend of Jesus, and you're just free to walk in. It's like your best friend's place. And you walk in, you pour yourself a big glass of milk out of the fridge. Fresh baked cookies. I'll have one of those. And, hey, God, how you doing? Me? Well, if you got a couple minutes, let me tell you about it. And you plop down on the couch and you talk. Why not chuck up a prayer like that, wherever you are right now? Greg's going to lead us now in another song, a song about prayer. Make it your prayer.
You said, ask and you will receive whatever you need. I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal your land. You said your glory will fill the earth like water the sea. You said, lift up your eyes, the harvest is here. Kingdom is near, you said, ask and I'll give the nations to you. Oh Lord, that's the cry of my heart. Distant shores and the islands will see your light as it rises on us. Your glory will fill the earth like water the sea. You said, lift up your eyes, the harvest is here, the kingdom is near. You said, ask and I'll give the nations to you. Oh Lord, that's the cry of my heart. Distant shores and the islands will see your light as it rises on us. Ask and I'll give the nations to you. Oh Lord, that's the cry of my heart. Distant shores and the islands will see your light as it rises on us.
Ready? Final square. Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. In, not for. We don't give thanks for divorce or for coronavirus or for Indian soldiers getting beaten to death on the Chinese border. Evil is real, and it's evil. It's not good. But in the face of, like a big protest placard, we choose to give thanks. Now, once again, this doesn't make sense just as a positive thinking technique. Just be grateful. But if we're living that big story of Jesus, if Jesus has truly begun the work of making all things right, if forgiveness and grace are true, well, then the gift is big enough to take care of the evil. See, once my inside gets hold of it, well, then I can live my life running around saying, hey, everybody, it's a gift. It's a gift. Gift. Exclamation mark. Forgiveness is free. Life is ready for pickup. And so gratitude just becomes the general state, the constant outflow of my inside. Instead of grumbling about all that isn't, my inner self starts to orient its way around what is and says, look at what is. It's grace. It's free. It's gift. Thanks, Lord. So, like our first square, joy, it can sound a bit naive or out of touch with reality or almost tone deaf. But what is true about your life and my life? Have I earned X, Y, and Z? And do I deserve A and B and C? And I should be mad and angry and disappointed if these things don't happen? What have I ultimately contributed to the reality of the universe, to my own reality? Did I make the stars? Do I keep the frogs breeding? Can I control the beating of my heart? We live in the face of an overwhelming gift from a God who just pours it on. He's wastefully generous. Colors and sounds and smells and burgers and wildflower bouquets picked by a grandchild. And everything, it's gift. Gift, gift, grace, glory. So, dabber number three. Here we go. We've got to finish filling in these free spots. And boom, 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 boom. Bingo! Here's the shape of our inner life as God would love it to be. He's just saying to us, practice joy. Like, make space for it. Let it speak to you and tell you about what reality is. And then when you're concerned, pray. Always, often, just do it. Just make it your way of being. And then in everything, gift. See it as gift. It's meant in a way to be like a perpetual motion machine. Perhaps an image of God himself, who's a trinity, always emptying into the next. Joy, pray, gift. Joy, pray, gift. So make space for this inner world for yourself. Make it your reflex. Not in the name of self-help, but in the name of Christ Jesus. In that big story that confirms that these are true and right and good, that they can be the shape of your inside. Bingo. Pray with me now. Father, you are good. And that is the starting point for everything we believe, your goodness. And in your goodness, you saw us and you did everything. You gave your whole self to find us. And you did that in Jesus and in pouring out your very spirit to us so that we could be your children, be reconciled to you, to find forgiveness in life. So thank you for that, and thanks for these words of Paul. Lord, too often we bury joy. We don't give space to it. Too often we think our worrying's more important than praying. Too often we don't notice the gift. We neglect it. So forgive us for that. Continue to form our inner life, because this is your good and perfect will for us. Thank you, Father. We pray this in the name of the Father who loves us, of the Son who showed us that love, and the Spirit who dwells within us. Amen. Greg is going to close our time together with a beautiful hymn, a song of joy and gratitude that's about the big story. It's a song called There is a Redeemer. So go with that and go in peace.
The Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. Thank you, oh, my Father, for giving us your Son. Stand in glory, I will see his face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son. The work on earth is done. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your